Balance Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales, Carter, Slade, Carter's, Abel's, Carter's, Newburgh, Carter's, Piper'sville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut. I've been over there. Hey, smell that dairy.
Tell Joy where to go to celebrate cranberries. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, September 26th. It's cranberry harvest season in Wisconsin. The marshes are turning bright red. Thousands are flocking to Warren's this weekend to celebrate Cranberry Fest. Some are planning on taking cranberry bog tours. And maybe you are stocking up on cranberries for cooking and baking or products that are made with cranberries that you like to eat. What do you like about cranberries? What do you want to know about Wisconsin's official state fruit? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tom Lochner, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Thanks for being back with us.
Well, I appreciate it.
So tell us about this year's season. How are the cranberries doing?
Well, Wisconsin's crop is doing pretty well, all things considered. Everybody makes a projection in August and September as to what the size of the crop is going to be here in Wisconsin and in the other growing areas. And those numbers have come in, and we see Wisconsin will once again produce about 64% of the nation's crop, a crop of about 5.3 million barrels of fruit. The barrel's 100 pounds of fruit. So we'll lead the nation again for the 20th year in a row. This year's crop's off a little bit from last year's record crop, but still is a very, very good crop in Wisconsin.
That's a lot of cranberries. My goodness, 64% of the nation's cranberries grown right here in Wisconsin. Why is that? What's so special about Wisconsin that we have so many cranberries?
Well, the special things about Wisconsin here and the reason we lead the nation in production, there's a number of them. First of all, our growers will always attribute it to Mother Nature, and what the weather gives us during the year determines what the crop's going to be this year as well as in future years, because we are growing a perennial vine, and so things that occur in one year carry over into the next. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the industry's been here for 140 years. Cranberries grew in the wild here prior to European settlement. The Native Americans used them, so they were here naturally. When European settlement took place, early growers found those stands in the wetlands in central Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin and began to enhance them and protect them, and over time developed growing techniques that led to the industry we have here today. Cranberries need an acidic soil. They need a good supply of acidic water and a good source of sand, and Wisconsin has all of those. We also have a great climate, and I think we have a group of growers that have reinvested in their properties, and they're just really good growers. They do a good job of managing their crop, and they do that with a lot of assistance from the University of Wisconsin and UW Extension that help us develop new varieties, new management practices, ways to be more sustainable in our production. So all of those factors make Wisconsin, I think, the best place to grow cranberries in the world.
And approximately how many growers are there of cranberries? And is it primarily in central to northern Wisconsin, or where are they located?
We've got about 250 growers here in Wisconsin. They're located in 20 counties across the state. There's a growing area. The largest growing area is in central Wisconsin from, say, Wisconsin Rapids over to Black River Falls, down to Tolma within that triangle of Juneau, Portage, Adams, Wood County is the largest producing county, Monroe and Jackson. That's about two-thirds of the crop. And then if you go to the northern counties from, say, Three Lakes and Eagle River over through Manitouche Waters, across to the Spooner-Hayward area, is about a third of the production in that northern growing region.
Mm-hmm. production, you say, is lower than last year's crop. Last year's crop was a record-breaking crop?
Yeah, it was exceeded everybody's estimates by at least 20%. We were expecting a crop of about 5 million barrels, and we ended up with a crop closer to 6 million barrels. Last year what happened in September was warm. Our evenings were warm, and the fruit grew in size about 10% more than people anticipated, and more than it usually would in a normal year. Generally, September's a little bit cooler, and we're watching frost, but last year and even a little bit this year, we're seeing that we don't have to see warmer temperatures at night, and then the berries continue to grow.
Yeah, higher than the five-year average, so this is certainly a decent-sized crop. Maybe maybe too big? Is there an overproduction of cranberries right now?
Yeah, we're seeing an increase in supplies and inventories of cranberries over the last 3 to 5 years. Despite efforts to grow markets domestically and internationally, we've been better at growing the fruit than marketing it. And as a result, we've seen these inventories grow. And prices for growers have been depressed to levels where they're below the cost of production. Growers are in the industry is making pretty heavy investments in marketing and product development, and we're especially focused on international markets. About 20 years ago, we probably exported 3 to 5% of the crop. Last year, we exported about 35% of the crop. So we've been building markets overseas, and we see the opportunity for growth there. And hopefully, if we can do that, we'll use up some of the fruit and then also see grower returns get up to where they're economically sustainable.
Yeah, so there are efforts. I've read some articles to try to send our Wisconsin cranberries to China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had a couple of groups of Chinese buyers in. China's been a target market for our national organization, and we did have a number of buyers in from China, you know, working with the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They were in last month, and we also had a group of bakers in the last week or so, and my understanding is that there will also be a larger group that will be hosted in Massachusetts yet this month or early next month. So we see that as an opportunity for increased cranberry consumption and tying in especially the dried cranberries with the products that the Chinese are already incorporating into their diet. So that's an opportunity for us. Our largest markets overseas remain the European Union and United Kingdom. Mexico is a major market, as is Australia. So those are probably the top ones. And we're looking at China, Korea, and the Pacific Rim, as well as Russia as an opportunity.
Yeah. Even though you might be better at growing cranberries than marketing them, boy, I'm seeing tons of products that are cranberry-related. That seems to be a growing market.
We're seeing a lot of additional products out there, and there's a lot of really innovative ones and ones that are produced locally. I see a lot of them here in Wisconsin, smaller operations of individuals that are have developed cranberry mustards and cranberry salsas, as well as barbecue sauces, the dried cranberries and chocolate-covered cranberries, yogurt-covered, things like that, and then incorporating it into things like trail mixes and granola bars and all of those products. We've seen that growth. A large part of the market still remains the juice area, and juice and beverage sales have been flat for the last few years. So the industry shifted to looking at other increasing that juice consumption, but then also looking at other uses like dried cranberries to get the fruit into some products as ingredients and cereals and things like that.
Mm-hmm. What about cranberry beers? I'm seeing those too.
Yeah, there is some cranberry beer out there. Actually, there's a brewery in Black River Falls that makes a cranberry beer, and I believe there are quantities available for sale at the Warren's Cranberry Festival this weekend. But we've seen it used in beer. There's a number of people in wineries that are incorporating cranberries into some cranberry wine as well, and there are some liqueurs too, and some vodkas, things like that. So it's a very, very versatile fruit, and it has a very unique flavor. So it can be used in a lot of different ways, whether it's in cranberry beers or wines or baking or just snacks. It's very versatile, and we're looking for new ways, and people are always looking for new ways to incorporate them into products.
We are talking about cranberries, Wisconsin's official state fruit. It is cranberry season, or at least the cranberry bogs around Wisconsin are turning red as harvest time begins for the berry. Lots of things going on that are cranberry related around the state, including the Warren's Cranberry Festival, which is the largest and oldest of the state's cranberry festivals. It kicks off today for a 3-day run. Will you be attending? Are you a cranberry fan? What questions do you have about Wisconsin's cranberry harvest? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Have you had an interesting or an unusual product that contains cranberries? Or do you like to, do you have a favorite treat that you make yourself with cranberries? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I've been to Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashburn, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Wapak, Milwaukee, Wausau, Wauwatosa, Wapon, Watertown, Waterloo, Whitewater, Whitefish, State Manors, Wishwaters, Climate. I've been over there. Hey, smell that dare.
This is a cranberry edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about cranberries, and I'm asking you to tell me where to go to enjoy cranberries. Our guest is Tom Lochner, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a suggestion. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take some calls. We have Alice in Sheboygan with us first. Hello, Alice.
Hello. I was calling... I hate to say it, but over 40 years ago, I graduated from Toma when the cranberry industry was smaller, and it's been nice to see it grow. But I was wondering if your guests could expand upon the sustainability part of it. I know that there were a lot of trout streams. I know that we're water rich in Wisconsin, and that's been part of that the cranberry industry has been able to grow with the use of water from the streams. How do they do that now that they don't put the insecticides and pesticides back into the streams that they're using?
Tim?
Well, the water is important, and water quality is a big issue, not only for the state but for growers as well. And we rely on a high-quality source of water, and our responsibility is to make sure that the water we use is returned in a state that it's better or the same state that it came out in. So what a lot of growers have done is we've adopted a lot of sustainable practices, and the University of UW has helped us with that. We've had a couple of evaluations of where we are in terms of sustainability, and those surveys in the last couple done over the last 5 years have shown that we've made a lot of progress and can be proud of our record. In terms of the chemical uses on cranberry marshes, those are all regulated tightly by EPA and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. Growers will actually have gone, a lot of growers have gone to systems where they pump the water back into the reservoir and it doesn't get discharged into the outgoing stream, so they have what are known as closed systems. And the chemicals that we use before they can be approved by EPA, have to pass muster so that they don't pose a threat to the aquatic environment. And a lot of and they break down quite rapidly, to be honest with you, once they're applied. And we've gone to a new generation of chemicals that are much softer and much more target specific, which they're a little bit more expensive, but at the same time, they promote the beneficial insects in the marshes, so that we just are taking care of the ones that are pests or damaging, those types of things. We've also seen a lot of growers use water as an insect control tool in the spring, putting on floods for a certain period of time early in the spring, which will essentially drown out insect pest populations, and that's eliminated a lot of the use that growers have. And we've seen through integrated pest management practices and through these types of innovative approaches that we've been able to reduce substantially our chemical use, probably by 50% to 60% of where it was, and much more since we all graduated from high school back a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the the life cycle of a cranberry. How does the growing and harvesting process work in Cliff Notes fashion?
Sure. It's a year-round process for growers. In the spring, the plants come out of dormancy, and they begin to grow. They have their bud on them. They begin to grow. Growers will take care of them, monitor for frost. We can get frost any night during the growing season, so we will, when frost threatens growers, we'll run their sprinkler systems, and as long as we keep a stream of water going over the vines, will protect them down to about 15 degrees Fahrenheit. So early in the season, frost protection is very important. As we move into June and July, the plants go into bloom. Growers will bring in honeybees or bumblebees to pollinate the crop. Fruit set takes place during that time. And then as we move into August, the vine is a perennial vine. So once it's planted, it's going to produce indefinitely. The average planting in Wisconsin, the average age is about 30 years old, a little over 30 years old. And then we have some beds that are over 100 years old that are still producing a crop. But growers will, in August, they'll monitor the plant. And what the plant starts to do in August is it starts to set its fruit bud for the following year. So not only are we trying to size and grow the fruit that's on the vine in August of this year, but we're also growing those buds for next year. So we're growing two crops at once. We move into September and the fruit starts to color up, and then we'll get into into October. In the first 2 weeks of October, probably the peak of harvest. Growers will flood their marshes. They'll go through with mechanical harvesters to remove the berries from the fruit. Depending on how the fruit's going to be used, it's handled a little bit differently. If it's going to be sold as fresh berries, it's picked with mechanical pickers and then taken to cold storage and after it's been cleaned and dried to make sure that it will be ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas. The other fruit, majority of the fruit, ends up being loaded out into trucks and taken off to the cleaning station where it's cleaned and then put in freezers to be used to be processed for the rest of the year. So after harvest, growers usually take a little bit of a break. We have deer season, which is the state shuts down for. But then after that, they'll keep an eye on their properties. They may be doing some work if they're doing some renovations or whatever. But then when the first cold snap comes in, they will flood their marshes to create a layer of ice. And we like to get a 12 to 18-inch layer of ice on top of the vines. And then that ice settles down as a mulch and protects the vines over the winter from desiccation. Once every 2 to 3 years, growers will actually go out on the ice and lay down a half-inch to an inch layer of sand. And when the ice melts in the spring, then that sand settles down on the vine, and it's essentially a pruning mechanism that it covers up some of the leaves, some of the leftover trash, maybe insect eggs, weed seeds, things like that, and it encourages new rooting on the vines and new upright growth where the fruit grows. And then once spring begins, we start all over again.
That's quite the process. Well, Kelly Joe, who lives in Kentucky but is from Wisconsin Rapids, is with us, and I think I know who this is. Hi, Kelly Joe.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning. This is Kelly Joe is the author of The Bucket List, the Wisconsin Bucket List.
Good morning.
And I think I saw a photo of you on either Facebook page or a website, Standing in a Cranberry Bog, Kelly. Were you recently in one?
That was last fall. I had the opportunity to get into the flooded bog and help harvest the crop. And that was a great experience. I'd never done that before. And my question is when do the farmers know to flood the bogs to harvest the crop?
That's a good question. What growers do is they monitor the fruit, and they will take periodic samples and take them into a lab, and the lab measures the color levels in the fruit. And once the fruit reaches a certain color level, then they're given the okay to harvest. There's some other things that take place before they can deliver the fruit related to food safety issues and things like that to make sure that they're delivering a quality crop. But cranberries are ripe when if you open one up, you'll notice that there's four air pockets in there with seeds in them. If the seeds are brown, that means the fruit is ripe. So it's ready to be used. It's just that we like to see a minimum color before the fruit gets delivered, because that the color is related to the amount of what's known as Brix, which is a measure of sugar, and a certain level of color and a certain level of Brix are needed in order to produce a good crop and a uniform crop for processing.
I need to jump in because we have news coming up. Thanks very much, Kelly Jo, for calling in. I hope, I think we might be talking soon on the show. We'll continue talking about the cranberry harvest coming up after this news.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales Grove.
We will continue our cranberry edition of Tell Joy Where to Go in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. First, it's time for a Cranberry Wisconsin Life. Each fall, the nation's biggest cranberry crop is harvested from Wisconsin marshes. And floods of travelers turn up to celebrate the tart star of the show. Emily Bright shares her view from her corner of Wisconsin.
My town of Eagle River has a population of 1,398. If our town's population were a year, we'd still be in the Middle Ages. So it's that much more amazing that every year 40,000 people show up on the first weekend of October for Cranberry Fest. 40,000 people drive across the state and beyond to engage in a frenzy over a little red berry that hardly anyone eats raw.
It becomes a pilgrimage. Every year people come up here from all over. They meet each other from many different areas. So it's a time to come together and enjoy everything.
That's Kim Emerson, Executive Director of the Eagle River Area Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center. Unlike Eagle River's other events named for produce, the Strawberry and Apple Festivals, for instance, Cranberry Fest is actually timed with the local harvest. The town goes crazy for cranberries. They show up in every restaurant, in sauces and salad dressings, and every kind of baked goods.
Every year I go and I'm like, oh, it's cranberry fritter time. So, you know, and the cranberry brats, that's the other thing that you really like to get a hold of.
There are other things that draw people to Cranberry Fest. The arts and crafts show boasts 325 booths. There's also a fiber arts show, a library book sale, and a fun run called the Cranberry Bog Jog. Mostly the events really are tied to cranberries, like the world's largest cranberry cheesecake, over 100 feet long, the proceeds of which go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Visitors can also take bus tours of a cranberry marsh and a winery where they can sample cranberry wine. Then they are given ample time in the gift shop.
I think people are more entranced with the color than they are the actual fruit.
Benjamin Riker is assistant manager of the James Lake Cranberry Marsh.
It's part of like the fall culture, you know, leaves change, pumpkins, chai, tea latte, whatevers, and cranberries.
Admittedly, cranberries are cool. They're one of the few indigenous fruits to North America. Cranberries float, which is why bogs are flooded for harvesting. And they bounce, which farmers use to help sort the good berries from the bad. Fruits that aren't sold fresh can go into anything from juice to baby food to vitamins to face wash. If I forget about a pound of cranberries in my fridge, they're still good a month later. For those of us who live in Eagle River, Cranberry Fest is a clear dividing point for the year. After this weekend, the last of the warm weather tourists and snowbirds head south. Resorts close, and many restaurants cut back their hours. It gets pretty quiet around here. We have a few weeks to enjoy the fall by ourselves before hunting and snowmobile season bring the next wave of visitors to the North Woods.
Emily Bright is a freelance writer, educator, and radio producer living in Eagle River. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the hour each week when we focus on special aspects about Wisconsin and Wisconsin culture, and today we are talking about the importance of cranberries and welcoming your questions for our guest expert. And I'm asking you to tell me where to go for a Wisconsin cranberry experience. There is a cranberry festival this weekend in Warrens. As we just heard, the first weekend in October, Eagle River will have a cranberry festival. Will you do a tour of a marsh? Will you be looking for cranberry products? What do you recommend doing with cranberries? And tell me where to go for a cranberry experience. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tom Lochner, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Well, that was fun hearing about the cranberry festival in Eagle River. Where are you, Tom?
Right now, I'm at home in Lake Holcomb, but I will, once we wrap this up, I'll be headed for Warrens for the next couple of days to help out with the festival. We have a facility down there. It's called the Wisconsin Cranberry Discovery Center, and that facility has a retail shop with all kinds of unique Wisconsin cranberry products. There's also a museum there that people can tour. It talks about not only the historical aspects of cranberry growing, but also the contemporary practices that growers use. And we'll have a few thousand people come through our doors over the course of the next 3 days, and we're pretty excited about that and gearing up. And I have a feeling I will be scooping ice cream for a few hours today and tomorrow, which with the weather the way it is, the cranberry ice cream cone is a great thing to have as you walk around the festival.
Oh, does that sound good? Yeah, Warrens calls itself the cranberry capital of Wisconsin. They just got to it first?
Warrens, because they have the festival and there are and Warrens is right in the heart of the growing region.
Mm-hmm.
They have probably more growers within a 40-mile radius of Warrens than anywhere. And they're right in the heart of the growing region. Wisconsin Rapids, if you go a little bit south and west of there, you get into cranberry country. And actually, the township of Cranmore literally consists of all cranberry marshes. There's about 18 to 20 marshes out there that is the largest growing area in the state. Wood County is the largest in terms of acreage, then Monroe, then Jackson. But the folks in Warrens have done just a great job of putting that festival together, starting out with a half a dozen vendors and wondering whether it was going to work to what it's grown to today.
Yeah, it's huge. I know thousands and thousands of people go to that festival, and I'm sure the Eagle River Festival as well. And I think there's even others, but in terms of, I know that one of the things with Warrens is offering tours of the marshes. Whether or not we can go to Warrens or not this weekend, is that something that you could do just about any time?
Yeah, there are a lot of opportunities to see cranberry harvest outside of the festivals. There is, as you said, Warrens this weekend. Next weekend is Eagle River, which is just a great festival. But also, the village of Stone Lake over in northwestern Wisconsin has a festival on Saturday, and they will have 30,000 people in that Village as well, and they do offer marsh tours. And then also on next Saturday, the Manitouche Waters area has their Granorama, and that they feature tours there. Outside of those festivals, there are some opportunities. The Cranberry Discovery Center in Warrens can link people up with growers and areas to go see harvest. There's a Cranberry Harvest Day also on the 4th of October in the Warrens area, and there's information on that on our website as well at swisscran.org. But some of the chambers have done a real innovative job of coordinating tours. The Wisconsin Rapids Convention and Visitors Bureau has developed the Cranberry Highway, which information can be gotten off of their website or by contacting the Wisconsin Rapids CVB, but they run, they give you a map with the route where harvest is going on and where you can stop and see it. We've always had people pulling off alongside the roads when they see the fruit on the water and want to take pictures and wonder what's going on. And we've tried to organize a little bit better for folks to become a little bit more acquainted and for it to be an educational opportunity, but also some safety issues too of parking along a state highway, make sure you pull off and things like that. But so the Cranberry Highway is one option for people. Glacial Lake Cranberries up there does offer tours of the marsh, and they have a little visitor center on their property. The Manitouche Waters Chamber of Commerce and the growers up there sponsor weekly tours of cranberries throughout the summer and the fall, and people can contact that chamber as well.
Well, you know, usually, since you're talking about Manitouche Waters, we have John in Manitouche Waters who wants to talk about the harvest and different activities. Sure. Hi, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You're in full swing right now?
Full swing, and the color, the fall color is just beautiful. So if you wanted to see harvest and you want to see beautiful fall color and avoid the crowds, you know, a week ahead of time, it's just gorgeous. And if you wanted crowds, all you had to do is go south to Minocqua, and it's Beef-a-Rama. So you could you could choose crowds or no crowds. That could be your choice.
Oh boy! So you're the bog or the marshes. The harvest is actually happening right now.
The early going on, and it's full color. It's just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
Yeah, that is just stunning to see. To see those red berries like that, and I loved the person in the in that Wisconsin Life piece that we played, saying that it's a ritual of fall, and he said that, you know, there's cranberries, there's the fall colors, and then there's the chai tea latte whatevers. That was very cute. When John says that the harvest is in full swing in Manitouche Waters, I was hearing you say that sometimes that doesn't happen until later in October.
Yeah, there's harvest started up probably a week or two ago, and the northern growers, because of the climate, they get color a little bit earlier, and they're able to start harvest earlier. Most the peak of the harvest is those first 2 weeks in October. And growers will start up. October 1st has always historically been a start date for most of the growers. Some people get started a little bit early because they've got the color and they're ready to go, and especially the northern growers, because it's going to start to get cold up in the Northwoods a little bit sooner than it does in the southern growing area, so they want to get their crop off before it gets frozen out. And so they're going up there. The Manitouche Waters, a tour is really a great thing to see. There's also a gift shop up there in one of the marshes, and they can help people see harvest. It's going to be a great weekend for it, because you're going to have blue skies and red berries on blue water with the fall colors behind it. And it is a fall tradition, and it's something I've been working with the growers for 25 years now, and I never get tired of going out and seeing harvest.
We are talking about cranberries, the cranberry harvest, which is underway. We're talking about where you can go to see the harvest, other ways that you can celebrate the cranberry, and we're welcoming any questions you might have. Do you have a favorite cranberry festival? Do you have a favorite cranberry product? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're talking with Tom Lochner, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. This is the Ideas Network.
Been to Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New
This
Franklin.
Is Tell Joy Where to Go, and today I'm asking you to tell me where to go to celebrate Wisconsin's cranberry harvest. Cranberry marshes around Wisconsin are turning bright red as harvest time begins. We are talking with a guest about this year's season, where you can go to celebrate the cranberry, and we're asking you how you like to use the state's official fruit. Do you have a favorite sweet treat or savory dish? Do you have a favorite product? Maybe have you had anything unusual with cranberries in it? We heard about cranberry beer, cranberry brats. What would you like to enjoy your cranberries with? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Back to the phones. Margo in Madison has been waiting. Thanks for waiting, Margo. You're on the air.
Thank you. Well, I love berries of all sorts. I know lots of people do, and they're very healthy. They're among the healthiest fruits you can eat. Cranberries in particular are very healthy for a number of applications. We haven't talked about that, but it's definitely worth talking about. But the problem is that not only do I like berries, so do the insects. They seem to just love berries. Some berries more than others are at risk. I understand high bush raspberries are a little less risk, but things like strawberries and cranberries are at great risk, and that's why there has to be some kind of a pesticide application. My concern is the concern of many enlightened citizens today. How much has to be used? To what extent can it really be washed off? What is the best way to handle it? When I buy a bag of cranberries at the farmer's market, I will ask people that, and they'll say definitely wash them because we have to spray them. Some people will say, well, we only spray them before they put their caps on, or we only do it then. And I'm just wondering what the situation is with berries, the cranberries. I heard the...
Thank you, Margo. Let's get Tom to talk about that. And then we'll talk a little bit about the health aspects, too. But so how concerned should people be about pesticide applications on the cranberry crop?
I would say that they can eat cranberries with great confidence that it's a healthy and quality product. With all fruits and vegetables, we encourage people to wash them, not just because there may be a concern about pesticides, but just because of the fact that a lot of times through handling and moving through the process, it's just a good idea to wash those products. The compounds that we minimize what we use. They're regulated. Before a grower can even deliver his crop, they have to provide a record to their handler of what applications they've made during the year. They have to, and then the handler checks to make sure that all the regulations have been followed, that there are every compound has a pre-harvest interval on it so that the residues are any residues that may be on there are allowed by EPA, and most of them are almost essentially zero. And then the handlers routinely sample marshes and take samples of the fruit and test it to see if there's any residue problems on them either. So we're very diligent about that. We have it's called a protective screen program that the industry has adopted all across not only Wisconsin, but the country, just to make sure that we don't have a problem like that. Back in the 1950s, we had the Great Cranberry Scare, that there was a report of pesticide residue on some cranberries that were grown on the West Coast, and that came out a week before Thanksgiving. And people were told not to eat cranberries. So back in the 50s and early 60s, the industry learned that maintaining gain the confidence of the consumer was paramount, and we have been taking steps since then to make sure that that doesn't occur again, because it was an economic disaster for the growers at the time. And at the end of the day, you want to make sure you're getting a good product there, have the consumer's confidence in that product. And we learned that lesson, I think, the hard way back in the 50s, and it's something that's reinforced and that the industry is very, very diligent on.
And we are running short on time. The health benefits of cranberries?
Cranberries, well, everybody knows about UTI, and everybody, I think, is familiar with those types of benefits. But as we've looked at the health benefits, and cranberries are a superfruit. They're loaded with proanthocyanins and a lot of dense phytonutrients, which are good for heart health. We're seeing that there's also good for the digestive tract. There's some pioneering work being done at UW. Also oral health. So all around, cranberries are a superfruit. They can they have a compound in them that assist or keep bacteria from adhering to tissue, and so then adhesion and antibacterial work that gives us some opportunities to.
Yeah, sounds good. Let me bring in one last caller, Tracy in Milwaukee. Hi, Tracy.
Hello, hello.
Hi. No, you're from Milwaukee, but you were just in where, the Warrens area?
I work for a trucking company, and I make regular deliveries to Warrens about once a month, and I just left Warrens about half an hour ago. I got there at about 4:45 in the morning, and the first time, I had never been through there when the Cranberry Fest was going on, but at 4:45 in the morning, there was virtually a traffic jam trying to get into the place.
Oh, my goodness.
It was unbelievable. That might be a little exaggeration, but normally I would be driving down the road at that time of morning by myself. There would be no other cars around, or excuse me, not 4:45, 4:45 in the morning.
That's really something, because we're just have a minute or so to go. Tom, you ready to spend some time in a traffic jam?
I know the back roads, so I know a shortcut to how to avoid it. But they do a pretty good job of moving people in and out of there. But I think with the weather the way it is, people want to get in there early and enjoy it, and we'd encourage them to do that and drive carefully.
You know, we have other callers, too, and emails. Saul in Stevens Point wants to know where he can find some cranberry jelly. It's common in New England, but not so common around here. Do you know if there's cranberry jelly, or maybe that's a product you can market?
Actually, there are a lot of cranberry jellies. Slax and Lodi and a number of other people do that. If he's in Stevens Point and he wants to drive over to Wisconsin Rapids, there's a retail shop called Ruby Reds on South 8th Street, and they have all kinds of cranberry jams.
Well, I'm going to check that out, too. This has been fun, Tom. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tom Lochner, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Thanks to Brianne Chasseau for producing this program. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for on-air direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. We'll be talking about banned books in our next hour. Monday at this time, it's our September open line. We'll welcome the issues and topics that you want to hear about on the show on our Monday open line. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.